Not gonna lie, feeling a little regret over my COVID schmovid joke yesterday.
Well, it's that was funny. Unfortunate. It's funny you should say that because the people listening right now on a Greg Cody Tuesday may not know, wouldn't know, don't have any reason to know that the show today has been splintered by some contact tracing, and it's a stunner that it took this long, right? Because we didn't miss a day during the pandemic. As soon as the pandemic hit, we shifted to going to the radio. Yes, Stugat.
I had that one day where I was three quarters of the way down to the Cleveland studios, and Mike made me turn around to go back home to do the show.
Okay. So well, Stugatz is at home, and you just heard me say yes, Stugatz, which means today's show isn't going to have quite the chemistry I was hoping that it would have, because I'm pretty sure, Stugatz, Mike, you tell us what you want said and what you don't want said here, because I'm pretty sure Stugatz just took this opportunity to immediately start mailing it in. Because we've only got a couple of days left, he didn't feel like making the drive. He heard, what, contact tracing? Somebody's got COVID. I'm staying home. I'm doing this from home. Man, my microphone sounds good. I'm going to be on the golf course at 12:15.
And not really tell anybody with certainty that I'm not coming in.
Oh, no, I feel like I did. I did.
No, I went back through the text. It's one of those, Abby doesn't think I should come in. I'll let you know, bud.
Then there was a group text that you were on
after the fact where I'm like, I still don't know if Stugatz is coming in. And
sleeping.
Oh, quiet.
Wait a minute. I read the text wrong because he made me feel guilt this morning when I'm like, is Stugatz coming in or not? And he's like, I already answered that on the text. It's obvious I'm not coming in.
He didn't. He didn't give a definitive answer. It was one of those, I'll let you know, buddies.
Hold on. I'm going to let the shipping container decide. And Dan, you as well, okay? Mike called me last night. He informed me of the news. I felt bad. I was actually in the shower when he called. Now, when Mike calls, he doesn't call as often as he used to, and that's fine. He's got a baby at home, and he's married. And listen, I don't feel bad about it. I'm not upset. You know, it hasn't fractured our relationship. He just doesn't call me like he used to, as often as he used to. And yes, I put on glasses to read. I'm sorry I have to do this because I don't know how to adjust the font of my phone. Do you have any idea? Now, here's how I responded after Mike after I did what Mike asked me to do, which is get out of the shower. Hold on,
Stugatz, you've already fouled up the show because the chemistry's all wrong from where you are. You're like, every time I can do it from here, it'll be seamless. Nobody will be able to tell the difference. He is so getting ready, Mike, to do 12 minutes of radio and 8 hours of Cameo a day. Like he's already angling so that he only has to do this for 12 minutes and it's farting out the 12 minutes when no one's looking from home. Here, I'm going to just be maximum lazy because Mike, what's the supervision going to be here? It's going to be you. It's going to be me. That's never worked. If it doesn't work with Disney, how the hell is it going to work with us?
There's all sorts of concerns headed into this transitional phase that we've had with Stugatz, and what's happened over the last 24 hours doesn't alleviate any of it. But before we just skip to Stugatz's defense of himself, because I'm reading the same text, and again, I still have the same ambiguity. My wife tested positive for COVID-19 last night. She's got some symptoms, most of which is just sadness, depression, and a little bit of shame. As we've done the whole contact tracing thing, wrapped our brains around the people we've come into contact with over the last 2 weeks, let them all know. And then Christmas is obviously canceled here in the Ruiz house, and we're a very family-oriented unit, and she's having a really tough time with that. I'm okay right now. My daughter is okay right now. I'm getting tested after the show today. Thankfully, I have no symptoms as of yet. Cynthia's doing a little worse this morning than she was last evening. But again, it's hard to separate what's the physical symptoms and what the mental part of it is, too.
Roy has come in heroically. Roy has thundered into the studio heroically.
Thank you, Roy.
You are so not welcome.
You're brave, too, Dan.
Well, no.
That is heroic. I mean, Roy is sitting in the room where everything went down.
God. Listen to you. As bad as you sound, it's a good thing you didn't come in today, and he doesn't have to be near just whatever's in your throat.
I sound fantastic. Now, let me get to my text, okay? Do you have any idea when or how she was exposed is what I wrote to Mike. because I have the now, Greg, help me out here. Because I have the equipment and we don't know your status, I don't see the point in risking it for one show. Abby has concerns and would like to minimize any risk before vacation. Let us know if we could do anything. Did your daughter get tested? Does that sound like a man who's coming in the next day?
No, no, you've done everything right, Stugatz. Everything.
That's not definitive for Stugatz, especially previously. I had one of those. I'll get back to you. And at 9:30, there was a group text sent to everybody saying, I still don't know about Stugatz. Stugatz provided zero clarity after that 9:30 text message. Now, he claims he was sleeping. He did wake up this morning and still provided no clarity.
Billy,
to that
Billy,
text.
Where? How did you experience that text exchange? Was it that Stugatz is coming in, or that Stugatz is creating the web of lies now so that he doesn't have to drive 90 minutes?
I mean, when you say Abby and I don't think it's worth the risk to do one show, that seems like I'm not coming in.
Thank you.
Okay. That's the line. Involving Abby and saying Abby's concerned, that's where you know it's like, yeah, that's not happening.
I guess if we're grading on the Stugatz ambiguity curve, we can give this one to him. It's fine. I'm not going to get bogged down in Stugatz's lies, but
yes,
you could be a little clearer, I guess. I don't see the point in coming in. It's not exactly I'm not coming in, which is sort of what we were looking for there.
Now, perhaps you're right, and perhaps the truth is somewhere in the middle. What I will tell you is that if Dan is uncomfortable with me not being there, and I totally understand that, we have plenty of time between now and the national show. I will hop in my car heroically. I will sit on Dan's lap or Roy's lap, and I will get us through this goddamn show. I am that committed to Dan. I am that committed to this radio show. I do not want Dan to be uncomfortable before vacation. If you feel uncomfortable, I hop in the car. I'm there in 97 minutes. Okay.
Team player.
Yeah.
Team
I don't player. Think Disney's going to allow us to sit on each other's laps here. So,
we still have to follow protocols. I wish that you had said somewhere within there, Stugatz, I am dedicated to making this cameo money on January 5th. I don't want all of this to blow up before then. So let's talk to Greg Cody of the Miami Herald. He's in today. The Dolphins have a relevant football team. They've got a football team. It's been what? Dave Wannstedt, Lamar Smith, since they had a team that was this kind of good, which still might not make the playoffs, and it still might be worse than Baltimore. Not a lot of shame somehow in a season that might have expanded playoffs, not making them, but this has been a positive season already, right? It's going to be disappointing if they lose and don't make the playoffs, but we can already call this a successful season no matter where it ends from here. Correct, Greg?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, way successful. They're ahead of schedule. You know, to be this good in their second season is just remarkable. And I think maybe I'm too close to the situation, but I think if Brian Flores isn't one of the NFL Coach of the Year front runners, it's a crime. And, you know, Xavier Howard obviously made the Pro Bowl. They could have had at least a couple of other players make the Pro Bowl. They've got talent this year in a way that they haven't even last year. And so it's been a remarkable expansion of potential and outlook for this franchise in just one year. It really has been an amazing story in the NFL that doesn't get nearly enough attention, I don't think.
It's crazy. He just, when he said ahead of schedule, it kind of hit me. The Marlins, the Heat, and the Dolphins, you could all make the argument, are ahead of schedule on where they should be. That's just a weird, are those South Florida the most ahead of schedule city in sports? Right now?
That is
no one's more ahead of schedule than we are.
That is the local hour. After 20 years, if people are looking at the backstory, I want to go back to the backstory of this entire show, as I'm going to do over the last couple of shows that we have. The first thing I want to go over is Stugatz having that 90-minute drive in a conversation we had before these studios were built and before LeBron was built. And God, if God is my witness, it is the one deal that Stugatz has actually held up, because it had to be 12 years ago, right, Stugatz, or 13 years ago, where I simply said Stugatz likes to complain. Look, we're trying to get a studio built on South Beach. It's going to be further than you are now. You're living in a different home or a couple. You've lived in a couple of different homes since then, and you keep moving further and further north. And I have said to you, if one time you bitch to me about the drive you have because you chose to go all the way that direction, and right. he doesn't bitch about it. I mean, he bitches about it on air, but he does not make me feel bad about the drive that he has every day, which is unholy. And which we might be learning during a pandemic as camera equipment becomes obsolete, that he might not have to make anymore because so many of these shows can now be done this way on Zoom.
But I still continue to make them. We had that conversation. You informed me of the potential new studios and opportunity in Miami when I was living in Plantation, Florida. For those of you in the audience who don't know, that is about 40 minutes south from where I am right now. So Dan armed me with that information. And what did I decide to do? Move further away from the place he told me we might have a studio. But I have not complained. And thank you for pointing that out. But man, that drive has taken at least a decade of my life. And the heaters have taken another decade. I mean,
houses are further away, but they keep getting bigger. Am I right, Stu?
That's right. You got it. I mean, I'll be in Orlando pretty soon.
The other thing, though, that I wanted to address over that time frame, because our show became, this is one of the original stories involving our show, where when we were going national, we were so crammed into everything ESPN was doing that I got a call a couple of weeks beforehand from an executive saying to me, so how do we make a national show? How do we make a local show national? And at that point, we'd already basically been doing a national show because South Florida sports stunk. There was nothing for us to talk about in South Florida. Everything was totally shitty.
At that time, we were way behind schedule.
Yes. Well, this is what I'm saying. I don't know why you were that close to the microphone. Mike Ryan just dropped his head into his hands at home because of how you fouled up the levels talking into a microphone and very close to the Zoom. But the point is that this region somehow propelled us into everything that we became symbolically and actually, because sports were so bad that we had to find other things to talk about. I could not go years talking to Stu Gatz about the bottom of the AFC East for 4 hours a day. Like, I couldn't do it. And so sports gets good when LeBron gets here, then this studio gets built. And now we've gone from the city with the most way behind schedule, 20 years it took, Chris, 20 years, to the city now most way ahead of schedule as we lose terrestrial radio and sports become relevant right at the minute in South Florida that we're disappearing from the airwaves.
But it seems like people still doubt us, even though we're ahead of schedule. I'm feeling there's a lot of doubters with each team, and I don't like it.
Well, because I don't think anyone looks at them, at any of them, including the Heat, and says those are championship good teams. They just say they're playoff teams who would need 1,000 breaks to do anything in the playoffs.
I think they should start, to Greg's earlier point, they should start looking at the Dolphins as a team that's going to be here for a while. I don't know if they're going to win a Super Bowl, but I think the foundation of talent – combined with a coach, we'll see about the quarterback. I don't think the Dolphins are going anywhere. And that division, with the Jets not being very good, the Bills are going to be good. We have no idea what happens with the Patriots. I think the Dolphins are going to be very, very good and competitive for a very long time.
Greg, why is this happening? Explain to me why that's happening. Because when do you ever hear, and I think Dominique and Mina have been doing this on the Washington football team, but when do you ever hear what Stu Gatz is saying? I think this team is going to be good for a long time. Also, by the way, as an added bonus, the skill position players, all of them are question marks. Like, there are no skill position players on a team that you're telling me is going to be good for a decade that anybody knows that they would want, because Tua is unknown and Devontae Parker, you know, is fine. But there are real skill position problems on the Dolphins. No game breakers.
That's true. They don't have a running back most people outside of South Florida could even name. And they do have some nice parts on offense. They have three tight ends who are quality players. Devontae's good when healthy. But you're right. It all hinges on Tua. But how did they get – why is the future so bright? It's because over a two-year period, they're going to have 8 or 9 first and second round draft picks. And if you have a competent front office and with that much high draft capital over a 2-year period, you can't help but go from mediocre to pretty good, or even more dramatically than that. I mean, they're, what they're doing is they're taking advantage of their fire sale in a very positive, smart, strategic way.
Dan, if you believe, and you said this a couple of weeks ago, that you feel like they might have a good GM and a good head coach. If you feel like they have those two things in place, player personnel, people, whatever it is, and you already have a good foundation of a football team, and you have all the draft picks that Greg just talked about, you have the Texans this year, first round pick, and their second round pick, and your own first round pick, and your own second round pick. Don't you feel pretty confident about this team being good if you believe in the people who are running
the organization? Well, this is the thing. This is an interesting thing that's happened over the course of my lifetime. And we've made fun of Greg Cody for being a Dolphin historian, but I think that he would actually be helpful here in what it is that I'm about to say. Because, Stugatz, from what you say right there and from the biases imprinted in me over the last 20 years of trusting all those front offices, Nick Saban, Bill Parcells, thinking all of them were going to do something or thinking it was unimportant what they did, spending 20 years thinking that way, I've got the scars of not trusting this organization to ever do the right thing. I've somehow gotten those scars in adulthood because in childhood I had the opposite feeling where I always thought the Dolphins, that's what the credibility of Shula brought you. It's what Dan Marino brought you. So what ended up happening to my sports allegiances as they regard the Dolphins is I trust them to screw it up and not be relevant the same way they have been for the last 20 years when they're drafting Eddie Moore and Jamar Fletcher and in all sorts of people other than Randy Moss and Drew Brees and everyone else. And so to answer your question, Greg, because I was startled reading before this season started the number of headlines saying Dolphins in a position to make a dynasty type run. And I'm like, this right here is where the game passes me by. Like, I'm always telling you that I don't actually know what I'm watching when it comes to football, but this is where it passes me by. Mina and Dominique talking about, and Greeny talking about how Washington's going to be good and have a Super Bowl chance next year. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, wait a minute, what do you mean? They don't have skill guys. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a wide receiver, the Dolphins. Not the Washington has a wide receiver, but the Dolphins don't have a wide receiver even. You guys are sitting here saying dynastic for 10 years with no running back, no wide receivers, and no quarterback. And it's like, we can do it that way by just having value at cornerback? Like, that's the way we can do it now. And it's where the game, where my analysis of the game would pass me by, because I'm like, I can't imagine a scenario under any circumstances where a team is good enough except they don't have a quarterback. And people are telling me, well, that team's going to be good for 10 years. And I keep asking, but what about the quarterback?
I get all the focus on, is Tua going to be good enough? Is he going to be great enough? But the defense has been a remarkable story. They've gone from really, really bad to really, really good in 1 year with guys like Emmanuel Ogba, who should have made the Pro Bowl. He has 9 sacks, which is 3rd in the AFC. Kyle Van Noy, the guy they signed as a free agent from the Patriots, has had a really nice season. You know, they've done so much right on defense, let alone the cornerback position, that has carried the team. That's the fulcrum of the team. But the skepticism is built in. I live with, my wife is a huge Dolphins fan. If the Dolphins fall behind 7-0, she's like, here we go again. It's 20 years of embedded skepticism about the Dolphins. And that's why you saw it in the point spread in Sunday's game. The Dolphins are better than New England all over the field, but it was almost a pick 'em game in Miami. Miami's favored by 1 point. And that's public skepticism. That's a way of people saying, you know what, the Dolphins seem pretty good, but I don't quite trust them yet.
Dan, if they put together, Greg, is it fair to say the core of that defense outside of Howard, they put together in 1 or 2 off seasons, right?
There's a couple of guys. Jerome Baker, I think, is in his 3rd year, the linebacker, but for the most part, they've been put together in 2 years. The Dolphins made a couple of really bad moves in free agency with the running back, Jordan Howard, in particular. But they made some really smart moves in free agency on the defensive side. And they're really, you know, Brian Flores is a defensive coach and he's been really good and he owns that locker room. The players really trust him. And I just think the leadership right now on the Dolphins is better than it's been in years and years.
Well, I only ask that because, Dan, if they put together the defense that quickly, it is a good defense, and you have the quarterback in Tua, and you have all these draft picks coming up, don't you have confidence in those guys putting together an offense that maybe is not as good as the defense is, but it's enough to surround Tua with good players?
It's interesting that you're asking me that, right? Because I would ask you guys, isn't one of the things that we know about football that defensive excellence doesn't translate from one season to the next? Is that not something that is simply known? So, okay, now they do it on offense. What are you assuming that the defense is going to stay good for? And I keep looking at every turn with the Dolphins for the thing to fall apart because I'm 20 years into it. And I remember Dave Wannstedt being 11-5 in the playoffs and it not mattering because they weren't actually close. Because what happened after Jimmy Johnson left him a whole bunch of good players is slowly Dave Wannstedt fooled us with 10-6, 11-5, lobster traps, 10-6, 11-5, and then it's all over. It blows up in his face, and we're making Wannstash jokes for 2 years.
That's totally fair. You can't, with few exceptions, you can't really count on a defense year to year. It's just so... The turnovers, a lot of stuff is random on the defensive side of the football.
Billy, help me with this, please. You feel how about the Dolphins? You feel like, okay, the defense is set. We're good. We're going to be good there forever. Let's put all the draft picks in the offense, and then we're a Super Bowl team. We're going to be going after Kansas City.
I mean, I don't know that I think that they're going to be going after Super Bowls in Kansas City after just one draft, but they're in a good spot. They have a really good defense. They have a quarterback who hasn't shown anything remarkable just yet, but they're also being really safe with him. He hasn't shown that he's dumb in terms of like decision making. He hasn't been turning the ball over a lot. They can get him some weapons. They can get him some running backs. They can get him some receivers. They have Gesicki and a tight end who's really good. I think that they're just missing pieces, and next year should be exciting if they make the right moves come draft time or even use some of those picks to trade for other players.
Well, Mike has lived this over the last couple of years with his Browns fandom, because I want to ask you guys this because I find this part interesting, and I always do. And I remember specifically yelling at everybody the year that Parcells went 11-5, and those were all these close 16-14 games, and saying to people, this isn't real. This Pennington is a bandage, and 11-5, this isn't real. I don't trust this. You guys are basically saying, and this is a victory for Flores already. This is why the season is a success no matter what happens from here. You guys are saying that the last 20 years of mistrust have been erased for you. They're gone. That these 14 games have erased 20 years of mistrust, because I'm still skeptical. I'm still over here saying, man, I got these scars for 20 damn years, and you're telling me, nope, this is the season. Trust this because they're young, they're led well, they can recreate this, they're going to be good for a long time. I don't feel like Mike had that last season. Mike had that, and it blew up, it exploded in his face to the point that this season hasn't even been fun on the front end because of how angry everybody gets anytime the Browns win a game. And now Mike's living it, and he's hopeful, but he's not sure either. And he's got those 20 years were worse for him. He's got two winless seasons in there.
And I probably have more hope for enthusiasm at the quarterback position than you know the Miami Dolphins have right now. I think what when people say the Miami Dolphins are set up to be dynastic, all of it hinges on Tua, right? Because they have the draft capital going forward to actually fix the skill position problem that they have. That was also assuming, operating under the assumption that DeVante Parker was, if not a true number one, a really good receiver. They have a really good tight end, and the defense is obviously they built by a defensive mastermind and Brian Flores, who has that Super Bowl to his resume. So I think they're well positioned, but it all hinges on Tua, and we still don't know enough about that player to make an evaluation on him.
don't think anyone thinks the Dolphins are going to be a dynasty after this draft. They just have a young quarterback. They have a coach in place that seems like he's doing a good job. I mean, look, last year everybody said that the Dolphins were going to be historically the worst team in the history of the NFL. Right? That's what people were saying. It's irresponsible what they're doing. The team that they're putting out there is a danger to people. This is an affront to the game. And then they end up winning 5 games last season. And then this year they're in playoff contention. It's not the Browns where you were changing coaches every 5 minutes and you had a new quarterback every 2 years. There's a vision here. You don't know if the quarterback's going to be an all-time great quarterback. You don't even know how good he's going to be. But he's 6 games in, 7 games in, whatever it is, and he doesn't have pieces right now. The defense is carrying them. He's doing what he has to do to get them wins. They have a plan in place. Just kind of let them see the way that they're going with this plan. Get him pieces, and then you can find out, is this the guy or not?
I agree with everything that Billy is saying, outside of maybe I don't think it's a straw man saying that this franchise was lined up to be dynastic. That was absolutely a storyline because people were excited about the quarterback. More so for this quarterback than I've ever seen in my lifetime being down here around that position. And you see what's happened. It's lined up perfectly. How are the Texans bad with Deshaun Watson being healthy all season long? They're on the precipice. If they nail this quarterback selection like that they just made with Tua, they can be great for a long time. But that you could say that about any team if they nail the quarterback position. You could say that about the Chargers. You could say that about even Cincinnati if they nail it with Joe Burrow. It all hinges on Tua Tagovailoa.
It was an interesting microcosm to me in Sunday's game. Look, Cam Newton's been a nightmare for New England, but the Patriots still have been playing pretty decent defense. Defense is where Belichick hangs his hopes right now. Well, the Dolphins opened the game with a 95-yard drive. And, you know, while everybody's wondering still, justifiably, how great is Tua going to be, the Dolphins, with nobody you've ever heard of, ran the ball for 200 yards behind an offensive line, missing a veteran starter and starting 3 rookies. There's a reason for that. They're doing things right beyond Xavier Howard and beyond, you know, the defense and the Tua situation. They're doing little things right. When you run the ball for 200 yards against New England with a bunch of no-name backs and 3 rookie linemen, something's happening there.
All right, let me just pause you guys because again, this for you guys, it sounds like the mistrust has been erased. So let me give the voice of the fan listening to this right now who isn't a Miami Dolphin fan, doesn't care about Miami, but is an NFL fan, and all that person is hearing in this call is yammering about greatness that is the following, okay? They're doing the little things. Gesicki is a really good tight end, okay? Gesicki is a really good tight end. They won 5 games last year. These are the things, the bedrocks upon which you guys are building Dolphin Dynasty. Like, Gesicki's a really good tight end, and I'm on the other end, if I'm trying to be mistrustful of you, I'm saying, come on, guys. Come on, everyone's got a Gesicki. Everyone in the damn league has built one of those Frankenstein monsters now.
The Bucks have 2. I mean,
they have 3. O.J. Howard's hurt. They have 3.
Oh, I forgot about him.
What about the creative scheme that they've had and the fact that Brian Flores is considered this great coach? I mean, those are 2 factors that you didn't just mention.
No, Dan, here, listen, I'm going to speak as a Jet fan, and I will tell you what the Dolphins have that I crave. And I think Mike Ryan now has it as well, okay? This is what they have. I don't know if that defense will hold up. I don't know if it will be a dominant defense year after year after year after year. I trust the coach to make sure that defense is always going to be pretty good. But here's what they have. They have stability and they have structure. I know who the owner is. I know who the GM is. I know who the coach is. I know who's in charge, unlike the Jets. And it seems like a very simple thing to put in place. But if you're a Jet fan or a Brown fan, you know it's not a simple thing to put in place. They have all of that. A quarterback that appears to be, at the very least, good enough, and a defense that's very good, and a GM who appears very good at choosing the right free agents and making pretty good draft picks. That's what they have, and you can hang your hat on that. And so I wish I had that, because I've never had that in 40 years of being a Jet fan.
I think we're just doing sports radio. I don't really think anyone's saying they're absolutely going to be dynastic, but there is hope because they're lined up well if they nail the quarterback. And I think everyone here agrees that they haven't seen enough yet, but they haven't seen enough to say that he's not going to be good. And while your position as the guy that's being the great urinator on all this, you're just more skeptical than everybody else, but we're all meeting in the middle, I think.
This is the same thing what we did with the Marlins a couple years ago. We're taking the baggage from our previous regime and just being like, the Dolphins can't be good. They've been terrible for 20 years. But it's new people making decisions. I know Chris Greer's been around a little longer than Brian Flores, but the combination of Greer and Flores, they've been good. I'm not going to hold like Parcells and Sperano. I'm going to try to just have a clean slate and look at this team and go forward.
But when you're asking me, how does the nation look at it versus locally? How do they look at the Dolphins and the things? You guys sound hugely hopeful. I could see the nation looking at the Dolphins exactly the way they're looking at the Heat still, even after what you just saw in the finals against the best player many of us have ever seen. Don't trust it, pandemic. Patriots have a bunch of guys out on defense. The Patriots have been hit harder on defense and their team in general by the Rona than any team. So, yeah, maybe you can run your guys, your Ahmeds. You can run them behind, you could run that the trio of nobody running backs that we haven't heard of. Maybe you can run for 200 yards because those aren't actually even football players out there for the Patriots because they're 75 deep on the Patriots, and that's not a real Belichick defense. But what I love about what just happened in this segment, and maybe we can do this as performance art the rest of the way on ESPN, is now you guys talk about sports. Now you guys, now I feel like at the moment we leave January 5th, just straight sports show where Stu Gatz is talking about Jets history, where as soon as we get out the door on ESPN, we're doing these hypersensitive analysis of sports radio. And the best part is we didn't agree about one word. What? We didn't disagree about one thing, not one.
I'm in a house with COVID-19 and it's a footnote to a Dolphin Hour.
We're morphing at the end into the Jimmy Cephalo Fin Zone.
I love it.